إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، واشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، واشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالًا كثير ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، وما يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created us as human beings, He gave us a certain distinction over other parts of His creation. As we know, He mentions in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created us as human beings, He gave certain of those human beings a certain status and parts of this dunya, part of His rizq given to them over that of others. As He mentions in the Quran, أُنظُرْ كَيْفَ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Look at how we have given certain people perhaps more money, or certain people other perhaps better looks, or other people better health, or other people iman and other people not iman. انظر كيف فضلنا بعضهم على بعض وللآخرة أكبر درجات وأكبر تفضيلا. And the distinctions in the Akhirah are going to be significantly greater than this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions in the Quran the fact that He has given certain of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam status over that of others. We know, for example, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَلَقَدْ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضُ النَّبِيِّينَ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. We have given certain of the prophets, for example, the Ulul Azm, the greatest from among the prophets of Nuh alayhi salam, of Ibrahim alayhi salam, of Musa alayhi salam, of Isa alayhi salam, and of course the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a status above that of the other messengers. When it comes to places as well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that His status of Mecca and Medina in the Quran is mentioned throughout the Quran. Mukhraj Siddiqin, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the Quran and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is also mentioned in the hadith that when his people drove him out of Makkah to al-Mukarramah, he said, مَا أَطَابَكِ مِنْ بَلَدٍ وَمَا أَحَبَّكِ إِلَيْهِ وَلَوْلَا أَنَّ قَوْمِ أَخْرَجُونِ مِنْكْ مَا سَكَنْتُ غَيْرُكَ. That how beloved of a city are you to me, and how beautiful are you, and if it wasn't for the fact that my people drove me out of you, I would never would have lived anywhere else. And that is from the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam, where he says, with qala Ibrahim rabbi ja'al hadha al-balada amina, that make this place a place of peace, make this place waj'alna al-bayta mathabatan lin-nas wa amna, make it a place that people want to go back to. If you have iman, you wish to go back to that place of peace and a place in which you can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you're not going there for any other reason apart from the fact that you want to do that, because there's no the temperature is really high and there's nothing else to be found there. It's not like the Bahamas or Hawaii or any other type of place. The only reason a person would go there is because of the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a similar capacity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also made it such that certain times have favor over that of other times. We pass the month of Ramadan, and we know the great status of the month of Ramadan, in which the masajid become filled with people that would otherwise not even attend the masjid. Similarly, however, we find ourselves in the greatest of days right now. And these days are in fact greater than the days of Ramadan. It is mentioned in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He takes an oath by these particular days. And we need to know that whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath by any part of His creation, then that is a great oath to be taken. وَإِنَّهُ لَقَسَمٌ لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عَظِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath by the sun. Life would not exist without the sun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath by time. Think about the creation of time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath by the stars, which some of which are multitudes the size of the sun itself. And whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath by anything, we need to understand that that is something that is great that He is taking an oath by. And one of those things He takes an oath by is these 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْفَجْرُ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ. By the dawn and by the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. We find ourselves thousand is great days. And it is also mentioned from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein he says, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أَعْظَمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. There are no days which are greater than the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than these days of Dhul Hijjah that we currently find ourselves in. And in another narration it is mentioned, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ الْعَمَلْ فِيهِنْ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَيَّامِ الْعَشْرِ. There are no days in which a person does good deeds that it is more beloved that a person is doing those good deeds than when a person does those good deeds in these month or in this month of Dhul Hijjah, and specifically these 10 days that we find ourselves in. And in this particular narration, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een, they asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by saying, وَلَا الْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, that not even fighting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in jihad. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he responds by saying, فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَلَا الْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا رَجُلٌ خَرَجَ بِنَفْسِهِ وَمَالِهِ وَلَمْ يَرْجَعَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ بِشَيْءٍ. That not even fighting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except for a man that goes with himself and his money and he does not return with any of it. Sometimes for us as people living in the current era that we are, we don't understand the magnitude of jihad. Imagine the battle of Badr. That in this battle, if the Muslims are defeated, there is no Islam today. Imagine, for example, the battle of Yarmouk or Qadisiyah, that if those did not occur in history, we would not be Muslims today. So when it comes to this type of action, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een, they knew the value of giving their life for this deen, so that other people throughout the earth and throughout history would also understand and appreciate and be from those that call themselves Muslimin. And in this particular narration, it is mentioning that a person who goes out for jihad, it is not better. It is not better than a person simply doing something like performing 2 raka'at in these great days of Dhul Hijjah, except for that person that goes and he leaves everything. Meaning he has family that he has left behind, and he gives his life and his money and everything has been given for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us understand the value of these particular days of Dhul Hijjah. In another narration in a similar capacity, narrated by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, it is mentioned in this particular narration that مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أَعَذُبُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَلَا أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ الْعَمَلْ فِيهِنْ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَيَّامِ الْعَشُرُ فَأَكْثِرُهُنَّ مِنَ التَّكْبِيرِ وَالتَّحْمِيدِ وَالتَّهْلِيلِ. In this particular narration, it is mentioned again that there are no days greater in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. So what should you do in them? Then say as much Allahu Akbar as you can in them. Say as much Alhamdulillah as you can in them. And say as much La ilaha illallah as you can in them as well. Say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. And as we know, this is part of the tradition of Dhul Hijjah, and we do it from the Fajr of Yawm al-Arafah. However, having said that, we should also be from those that does not only do it from the Fajr of Yawm al-Arafah, but we also do it from the beginning of the Dhul Hijjah. Not at the end of the prayer, but wherever we are. There's an unrestricted type that you say in your car. There's an unrestricted type that you say to yourself. There's an unrestricted type that you say in the marketplace, as many of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een did. And you need to try to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as you can in these particular days of Dhul Hijjah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions in the Quran, وَيَذْكُرِ اسْمُ اللَّهِ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ, that remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and mention His name in the known days. And these days of أيام معلومات المفسرون, the interpreters of the Quran, they say that this is referring to the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. There's a similar ayah, just as a point of trivia, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْدُودَاتٍ, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the numbered days. And this is in reference to the 3 days after Salatul Eid, Ayyam al-Tashriq. That is what that is in reference to. But we need to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the entirety of these 13 days. And when it comes to dhikr specifically, one of those things which is special about dhikr is that when it comes to, for example, our salah, it is restricted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. The prayer is done at specified times. When it comes to the obligatory fast, this is also restricted in the month of Ramadan. فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَسُمْ. Whoever witnesses that month, they should fast. When it comes to the performance of Hajj, this happens in this current season, the Hajj season, but it is not something that is done throughout the year. When it comes to something like our charity, again, it is only something which is given when a person reaches the level of nisab, when it becomes an obligation upon the person once they pass a certain threshold to give that charity. However, having said all of these things, when it comes to our dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions dhikr in the Quran, He does so in an unrestricted sense. He says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu dhkurullaha dhikran kathira. O you who believe, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala excessively. He also says in the Quran about a characteristic of those people that will attain Jannah. وَذَّاكِرُونَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرٌ وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ. The men and women that remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala excessively. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says about people, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. They remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every situation they find themselves in. Standing, sitting, or lying down. Do you find a fourth condition where you can even sit? You cannot find a situation like this. You remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every type of situation and scenario. And that is one of those things mentioned in regards to dhikr. So let us try to increase this in this blessed month of Dhul Hijjah. Another point in reference to dhikr is that the word dhikr literally means remembrance. Meaning that if you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a sign that you love Him a lot. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ. And the reason for this is that if a person has on their mind, for example, their hobbies, or they have on their mind, for example, their business, or they have on their mind, for example, their family, or they have on their mind, for example, their studies, or they have on their mind anything else that always comes to your thoughts, this is a sign that you love that particular thing. So take an assessment of yourself. How much do you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the day? How easy is it for you to say Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, and La ilaha illallah? And if this comes easy and naturally to you, and you find yourself doing this throughout the day, then this is a sign that a person has a true love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if you are thinking about other things, even another person that you love, then this shows that this is something which you love excessively. So let us also keep that in mind. In regards to our dhikr, let us try to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as we can. Another deed, or a great deed, in fact the greatest deed that a person could do in these days of Dhul Hijjah, is to go for Hajj yourself. And if you are a Muslim that has not considered this, or you consistently find yourself delaying it, or you don't have that much intention to go, then this is a sign of a person's weakness of iman. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, number one, He legislated this in Islam as one of the pillars of Islam. And a person that goes to Mecca and they have an attachment to want to go back to Mecca, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the Quran as well. When a person has an attachment to go back to Mecca, وَجَعَلْنَا الْبَيْتَ مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَأَمْنًا, a place you want to constantly return to, then this is a sign of your iman. And one of those blessings behind Hajj itself, as it is mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wherein he says, hadith muttafaqun alayh, الحج مبرور لَيْسَ لَهُ جَزَاءٌ إِلَّا الْجَنَّةِ. An accepted Hajj, there is no reward for it except for Jannah. And the Hajj itself is a reminder for us. Whenever we find ourselves in the Hajj season, take it as a reminder for us, what does Hajj actually signify? One of the greatest things that Hajj signifies and teaches us is that it is a reminder for us of Yawm al-Qiyamah. One of the biggest proofs of this is the fact that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He titles one of the chapters in the Quran, Surah al-Hajj. And the first ayah in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not talk about tawaf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not talk about the sa'i between Safa and Marwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not talk about standing at Arafah or at Muzdalifah or the Jamarat, but rather He starts off this chapter of the Quran by saying, Ya أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم إن زلزلة الساعة شيء عظيم. O mankind, have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the trembling or the shaking of the hour is something which is grave, something which is great. And when you find a person going for Hajj, if you know people in your family that have gone for Hajj, one of those things that they will do is they will try to reconcile with those people they might have had an issue with. In a similar sense that if you thought you were going to depart this world, you would do the same. And you might even make provisions for yourself, for your family, while you are gone. In a similar sense that when a person knows they're going to leave this world, they might do similar for those people that will be left behind from their family. And this shows as a reminder for us that the Hajj is a reminder of our leaving of this world when a person undertakes that journey. When a person in fact actually goes on the journey themselves, and they wear the ihram, and they take the ghusl as is part of the ritual of entering into the state of ihram, you wear those two white garments, this is a reminder for us that a time will come when a person will be also wrapped in two white garments, and you will not take that shower yourself, but other people will give you that ghusl at the time of death. That is a reminder of us again of Yawm al-Qiyamah, which is soon to come. When a person goes on Hajj as well, You see that irrespective of race, irrespective of nationality, irrespective of height, irrespective of any other type of description of a person, their marital status, their financial status, their status in society, whether they are a person that is respected or not, whether the person is rich or poor, all of them, they're all wearing the same garment of ihram. And in a similar capacity, irrespective of what a person is, whether you are rich or whether you are poor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, and كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةِ الْمَوْتِ, every single person, without exception, they will taste death. يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَ, some people think by their money they're going to be immortal and live forever. This will not be the case. And this is again a reminder for us when we go on Hajj. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those that makes us from those that if you have not already gone for Hajj, to go for Hajj and accept the Hajj of those that have gone. When it comes to the Hajj and its connection to Yawm al-Qiyamah, a person, they may find themselves having undertaken this journey, and because of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make it such that Hajj is taking place in a place which is tropical or has temperate weather, but rather it is extremely hot, especially at certain times of the year. When you feel that heat in the tawaf, when you're making tawaf around the Kaaba, and when a person finds themselves, for example, in Muzdalifah or on Arafah, and the sun is beating down, and it is 50 degrees, this becomes a reminder for a person that a day will come in which the sun will be simply a mile away, and people will sweat in accordance with their deeds. On the journey of Hajj as well, a person would find themselves in the pinnacle of Hajj, which is Arafah. As it is mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Al-Hajj Arafah. Hajj is Arafah. Without Arafah, there is no Hajj. When a person finds himself in that location, on Jabal al-Rahmah, on that mountain, and you're making dua on that particular day, with millions of other Muslims throughout the world, from all different nationalities, this serves as a reminder for you, that a day will come in which every single person, not millions, but in fact billions, from the beginning of time to the end of time, قُلْ إِنَّ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ لَمَجْمُوعُونَ إِلَىٰ مِقَاتِ يَوْمٍ مَعْلُومٍ, from the beginning of time to the end of time, they will all gather on the mahshar, on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And this is a lesson that we take away from the Hajj. Many people are in a state of ghafla, not understanding this reality. But when we look at the Hajj and we undertake this journey, it wakes a person up to this reality of this dunya. We mentioned that the greatest part of these 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah is the day of Arafah. Al-Hajj Arafah. Hajj itself is Arafah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He takes an oath by the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, and He also takes twice in the Quran a second oath specifically by the day of Arafah itself, the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ, that the even and the odd, some of the scholars, they say the odd is in reference to the 9th day of Dhul-Hijjah, which is Yawm al-Arafah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, وَالشَّاهِدِ وَمَشْهُودِ, a shahid is a person who is witnessing, and mashhood is what is witnessed. By this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the oath, and the mufassirun, they say that shahid is in reference to Yawm al-Jum'ah, and mashhood is in reference to Yawm al-Arafah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَفْضُلْ الْأَيَّامِ, the best day is Yawm al-Arafah. The best of days is the day of Arafah, which will be on Tuesday this year. More so to this as well, in reference to the day of Arafah and its particular significance. It's mentioned in a hadith that there is no day, there is no day without exception, that more people's necks are saved from the fire of Jahannam than the day of Arafah. And it's mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He comes down. ثُمَّ يُبَاهِي بِهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, then He comes down and then He boasts to His angels about those specific people that might be making dua, and He boasts to them. And He boasts to them about human beings and Muslims that are worshipping. And He says, مَا أَرَادَ هَؤُلَىٰ, what do these people want? Imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's coming and He's saying to His angel and boasting to His angel and telling them, what do these people want? Imagine a person that does not even raise their hands on this great significant day. What a loss that would be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is literally telling you that He is telling His angels that what do these people want? Do you expect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to give you? Of course He will give you. And in another narration it is actually mentioned that khayru du'a, du'a yawm Arafah, the best du'a a person can make without exception is the day, the du'a that is made on the day of Arafah. So try to make yourself or give yourself some time on Tuesday, that you set aside some time from your busy schedule, perhaps before Salatul Maghrib, to make du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive your sins and give you goodness in this life and in the next. And in this particular narration, And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he also says, وَخَيْرُ مَا قُلْتُ أَنَا وَالنَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ قَبْلِي, that the best thing that I have said and those prophets before me as well. This is in reference to what a person should say on the day of Arafah. It's to say, لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Again, لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Try to say this as much as you can on the day of Tuesday. Another great blessing or virtue of the day of Arafah, as we know, it is a day in which a person's past and future sins can be forgiven. سُئِلَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَنْ صَوْمِ يَوْمِ عَرَفَةَ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was asked about fasting the day of Arafah, and he says, يُكَفِّرُ السَّنَةَ الْمَاضِيَةَ وَالْبَاقِيَةَ. It expiates the sins, the minor sins of the previous year and the coming year. Again, we just passed the summer solstice, June 21st, the longest day of the year, especially in Calgary, it is extremely long, and it might be hard for a person to fast all 9 days of the Hijjah. As it is mentioned from the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the practice of fasting all 9 of these days. But at a very bare minimum, it will be a single day. It might be hard, it might be long, but don't miss out on this opportunity to fast the day of Arafah, as it will expiate a person's minor sins of the year previous and of the year coming as well. As far as the other virtues of this blessed day of Yawm al-Arafah, it is also mentioned in one hadith that one time a Jewish man came to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, and he said that there's a particular ayah in the Quran that if it was revealed to us as a Jewish people, we would have taken that day as a day of Eid. And this day is the ayah in the Quran wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-yawmu akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. In this particular ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that on this day we have completed and perfected your religion and made pleasing to you Islam as a deen. Al-yawmu akmaltu lakum deenakum, we have completed your religion, wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, and perfected our favor for you, wa raditu lakum al-islam deena, and made pleasing to you Islam as a religion. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he says, I know the time and the place that this ayah was revealed. It was revealed on the day of Friday, on the day of Yawm al-Arafah, on the plains of Arafah as well. And that is from the distinctions given to this great day of Arafah, which will be on Tuesday the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also had his famous khutbatul wada'a. His farewell sermon also took place on this day of Arafah. And it is a long sermon. I would encourage every single Muslim to read it. Imagine the last major address of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the end of his message given to the entirety of mankind. As to what his message actually was, that you will find in his farewell sermon, which is known as the khutbatul wada'a. I'll mention just one part of the sermon. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that inna amwalakum wa dima'akum wa a'radukum haramun alaykum ka hurmati yawmikum hadha fi shahrikum hadha fi baladikum hadha. He says in this particular narration on the Mount of Arafah, he says that indeed the blood, the honor, and the money of a Muslim towards another Muslim is haram, just as this day and the hurma of this day and the hurma of this month and the hurma of this place as well. So here we find something interesting, that in the Arabic language, a person might hear the grand mosque. It is called Masjid al-Haram. Why is it called Masjid al-Haram? A kid might ask that, why is it called Masjid al-Haram if it is the greatest masjid? What's haram about it? And the way that we understand it is that when a person is in the state of ihram, then there are certain things that become haram for them, like clipping of their nails, like for example, covering of the head. Those things become haram for them. Likewise, when you enter the prayer, takbiratul ihram, the opening takbir, speaking now becomes impermissible for you, as an example. So when you enter those specific locations in which there is a sanctity, if you were in front of the Kaaba, you would be embarrassed if you were Muslim to commit sin there. So there's certain sanctity there, which again, in the Arabic language is referenced or translated as